on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Rise and shine. It's 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Hello, Jean. You're on WGN Good Morning.
Okay, I'm one of those women that uses tons of hairspray, and I have damaged our laminate door in the bathroom.
But how does your hair look?
And you've got the one and only Mr. Fix-It tuned in to your radio.
Give me some driftwood, and I'll whittle you a window.
That's right. Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's not the tool. It's the man behind it.
Right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
7:13 in the morning. Lou Manfredini live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Good morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by the Lindemann Chimney Company. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I heard Steve Cochran talking about the funny sound that the... something's going on with this headphone jack. It sounds funny. Sounds fine on the air, though. Veronica, does it sound like me?
You sound just like you.
Thank you. How are you? Good morning.
Good. It's early, but...
I know. We keep talking, you and I, about doing this show in the afternoon.
Yeah, and then tomorrow, you don't have to be here tomorrow, but those of us who do, it's like we lose that hour of sleep.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's spring ahead in the fall and fall back in the spring?
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
Spring forward, fall back.
Spring forward, fall back. 2 a.m. There we go. I had an alarm clock that... Good morning, Lindsay. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
Lindsay was away on vacation. Nice to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
She rolled up in... You remember Sean Puffy Combs? What's he called now?
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
Puff Dad.
She rolled up in her...
Puff,
she bought
Puffy.
Herself a brand new car today, and so she rolled up in her white car. I didn't realize that in new cars you could buy the spinner wheels, that could be part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
It was an added bonus.
It was really something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good luck for
Thank you.
Congratulations. what were we talking about, Veronica?
Spring.
Spring, yeah. Forward, mm-hmm. Fall ahead. I had an alarm clock. I had to get up early for something just recently, and it must be automatically set, because didn't we change the date that this happens now, the few
mm-hmm.
years ago?
Uh-huh. Yes, we did.
So it must be automatically set, and one, this is just like a couple weeks ago. I woke up in the middle of the night, or the early, early morning, as I normally do, and I look at the clock. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I got to get up in 10 minutes. Jeez, that seems kind of quick. And I'm having this mental conversation in my mind as I'm lying in bed. You know, you're thinking, should I get up and this and that? And, you know, are you a snooze alarm person at all, Ranga?
Nope. It goes off. I get up.
Yeah. See, now, I'm a snoozer.
I'm a snoozer, too.
But just once.
Me too.
And I sit there and I think about that I'm on
Me
the
too.
Snooze. So I don't know why I do that, because I'm awake, but even this morning, I think I said, but anyway, so the clock was wrong.
That's amazing that you could figure that out, that you actually had that conversation.
That the clock was
head.
Wrong. And so I'm looking at the clock. And so on Mary Beth's side of the bed, she finally has a clock. You know what she has?
Oh, that little thing, the noodle.
My favorite
too. Yeah,
alarm clock ever, QB time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So, and the only reason that it's not on my side of the bed is it doesn't have a radio when it wakes up, and I like waking up to a radio, not an alarm.
What station?
Eric and Kathy. What station are Eric and Kathy on? I like Eric and Kathy.
That other
Very
place.
Good. He's got such a nice, pleasant voice, and that Kathy has such a great laugh. No, it's on WGN. so, I sit up in bed. It's really 4 a.m. But the clock says it's 5 something. Remember, six. Everything okay? I go, I think my clock is wrong. She's like, what? And I get up and I walk over to her side of the bed, because I can't see her clock because we have 1,000 pillows on our bed. That's a whole nother story. I can't even see. It's like I sleep alone. There's like a mound of pillows. I think it's there for a reason. She doesn't want to look at me. You think that's possible?
She just says they're decorative pillows, right?
Right. But it's like, you know what it is? It's like the Donald Trump wall in Mexico. I think that's what it is. I think secretly.
It's like a line. Like you
yeah,
can't cross
it's like
over.
That. What is that movie? The Thin Red Line. That's what it is.
Hmm.
But it's thicker. So I get up. I walk to her side of bed. Sure enough, it's 4 a.m. She's like, what's the matter? I go, close your eyes. I turn the light on because, of course, on the clock, to reset it, it's on the buttons on the back. You can't see it. And I'm resetting the clock at 4 a.m. And then what do? I lie back down awake. Waiting for it to be the right time.
That's why I don't like this snooze alarm, because I feel like you're not getting any rest when you do the snooze.
I know. Well, Orion, who's been waking up way longer than any of us, you know, he's always been a proponent of just when the alarm clock goes off, you get up,
mm-hmm.
you know?
David, my husband, probably hits the snooze button 12 times.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
And so does he set the alarm based on the number of times he's going to hit the snooze button? In other words, so really he gets up at 8, just for the sake of argument, but he sets the alarm for 7.
Because,
right, isn't it usually 9 or 10 minutes?
Sometimes he does that, but a lot of the times he will say the next morning, oh, I'm going to get up at this time to go to the gym or before work. And then, you know.
Poof, poof,
exactly.
Poof, right. Poof, poof. You keep hitting it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't know how we got on that subject. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We have a really interesting Noodaloo, too, that you're very excited about.
I loved it.
And you, well, you don't want to give the example, but I have another example, but I can't, is it? What is the pharmacist when he used to mix the drugs, you know, like Mr. Gower, a mortar and pestle? Pestle?
Veronica?
That sounds right.
Pestle.
Pestle, yes.
Mortar, and you have no idea what that is. Okay, so a certain segment of our audience will get that mm-hmm. when I make that reference coming up at 7:50 in the morning. But it's a stud finder. Wait for it. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. And then we're going to talk to a guest about home warranties. Are they worth it? I have a very strong opinion about them that I am going to keep quiet about until we talk to our guest. Hopefully our guest will be open to my opinion on all this. So we're going to be talking to someone a little bit later on about that. But first, let's get to your phone calls. 312-981-7200. Remember, that's also our text line. And we'll do our Just Text Me segment after 9:30 this morning. Here's Rick in Park Ridge. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I'm good. Home of our presidential, running for the president, Hillary Clinton.
We're kind of quiet about that.
it is an interesting time, isn't it, Rick?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It sure is. How can I help you, sir?
Lou, I've got outside recessed lighting under my eaves, and I've got on each side of my garage door, I've got two lamps. And last fall, I replaced the bulbs with these new LED bulbs.
Okay, yeah.
And they've all burned out. So I went to my local Ace Hardware.
God bless you.
You can honk your horn. You can honk your horn. And these guys are really helpful and knowledgeable. And I said, okay, what light should I put in there? And they said, they took all the lights out, put these new ones in there. There's nothing on the box that says inside or outside. And they've given us no training. We don't know what to tell you. Do you have any ideas what I can put in for outside light?
Well, I don't like hearing that they said they've given us no training, because Ace offers a ton of training opportunities for their associates, and it's something that we've done extensively with our group. So here's the thing with the LEDs. I recently got an email from somebody about this, too. Some of the bulbs, some of the early bulbs, and some of the manufacturers will say you cannot put them in an enclosed fixture. However, it has nothing to do with the safety of the bulb. It has everything to do with the overall life of the bulb.
Okay.
Now, you said you have an overhang, correct?
Yep.
So what are those? Are those recessed can lights that are outdoor?
Yeah. Okay. The recessed can lights under my eaves outdoor.
All right. You have two choices. There are recessed light can trims that you can buy, where you're going to unscrew the light bulb. You're going to take the existing trim off, and then this LED trim is going to go on there, and you're going to screw it in like a light bulb, and it's going to have a nice lens on it as well. So it's not going to be, the diode of the bulb isn't going to be exposed.
Okay.
And you can call me in 20 years when you have to replace it.
Oh, wow.
Now, you could do that, or you could buy a
regular... What's that called again? A recessed light can?
It's an LED recessed light trim.
Trim, okay.
And they should have that at your local Ace.
Okay.
And, but also you can get a regular, like, PAR 30 exterior bulb in LED that is ready to go outside as well, and you can screw it right into what you have. So, because that's not really, a can light in that respect is not enclosed per se, because the bulb is, it's open to the air. Now,
right.
You said you have coach lights?
I have lights on either side of my garage door, and you know you've
But
got,
those are the recessed lights, or those are surface
no,
mounted?
No, besides the recessed lights, I've also got lights. I've got lamps on either side of my garage door, and the bulb in there is one of those little clear bulbs with the wide base, the big base.
Okay, and so, but it's an enclosed fixture.
Yeah, well,
but it has venting on the top.
Except for the bottom. Okay. I reach up under the bottom.
Oh, okay. So you can find an LED bulb that has that same base that you want. The one thing I'll tell you is in those types of fixtures, is the glass opaque or is the glass clear?
The glass is clear.
Okay. You may not like the look of the bulb because it's not a full piece of glass. There's a little bit of it where the electronics is that's like a white plastic, and so the bulb looks different. But I will tell you, on the front of our house, we have two coach lights on either side of the door, and I have three LED light bulbs that have candelabra bases in them, and the glass is somewhat obscured. It's not totally obscured, and I've had LED bulbs in there now for probably 2 years, and so the litmus test for me is my wife's never said a word about them.
I was going to say, I'm going to like the look, but the boss may not.
Right. So that's the thing. When I changed them, I never said anything about it. What's funny is I don't love the look, but I like that when I leave the lights on, it's, you know, literally drawing so little electricity that it's, you know, nothing. On the back of our house, I have I have fixtures similar to what you're talking about, where you reach underneath and you put the bulb in. That glass is opaque, and I have standard LED, you know, what would be the equivalent of a 40-watt bulb. And those have been in for 3 years. Ironically, I had one that started to flicker recently. And I turned the bulb off. I turned it back on. It's fine. I probably need to swap that out. I mean, here's the thing with these bulbs. They're mechanical pieces, right? And so they'll say, oh, it's supposed to last 20 years, and the thing went out. Well, you may have had a bad one, right? They're all made by, you know, factories and whatever. So for the most part, if you can find something that fits, you can use them in these fixtures and not have a problem.
Okay. All right. You said for the recessed lights, the alternative was a PAR 30?
Yeah, it's like a PAR 30 bulb. So it's like it's a recessed bulb. It's like a traditional bulb that you can buy in LED. And I know they got them at that Ace.
Yep.
And you can put those in there, and I'm telling you, you won't have to do a thing with them for 25 years.
So a PAR 30 LED bulb is what I'm looking for.
You got it. Hey, do me a favor. As our first caller this morning on a Saturday morning, let's send him out an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland indoor comfort. American Weathermakers, take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Don't go away.
Hey, you. That's right. I'm talking to you. It is time to fix that leaky faucet. And you? You know who you are. Aren't you getting sick of your wife nagging you about that cold basement? Well, pick up that phone and call Lou. 312-981-7200. We're here till 10 on the Mr. Fix-It Show on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Register now through March 17th for the WGN Radio Bracket Battle, sponsored by Alpamonte Ford. Fill out your bracket, make your picks in this year's men's college basketball tournament. Compete against your favorite WGN Radio hosts for the chance to win cash prizes and a two-year lease on a 2016 Ford Focus. A perfect 63-game bracket wins you $1 million. The person with the highest point total wins the two-year lease from Alpamonte Ford. Keep up with the tournament standings and see how you stack up against the WGN Radio family. Register today and get details at WGNradio.com/bracketbattle. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. Let's get to your calls now. This is Dave in DeKalb. Dave, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, David.
Electric water heater.
Yes, sir.
First time I've ever dealt with one. I've been always gas trying to help out my son at his townhouse. Well, here's the deal. We took the top panel off, hit the reset button, have hot water for 24 hours. Then we go to use it the next day. We have no hot water. We hit the reset button again, and we have water the next day.
Okay.
Hot water. And then last night, no hot water again.
You know what that is, don't you, Dave?
No. Nope.
It's a character builder.
Yeah, it's one where I want to throw the hot water heater out the front door. And it looks brand new. I mean, that's the problem.
Okay.
But help me out.
So you're hitting the reset button on the water heater itself?
Yes. Okay. Yep, behind the panel.
All right. There's no numbers on it that you can tell the age of this thing.
Not that I could. I'm not in front of it now. I'm at work, so I can't answer that question.
It probably isn't brand. How old is this townhouse?
Oh, boy. Probably built in the 80s.
Okay. So if you can find some numbers on it,
okay. You
know, different manufacturers have different ways that they list the numbers, but typically the last four numbers are the date of the unit. Okay. So if all of a sudden you find out that this thing's 20 years old. Now, the thing with electric is the heating elements, there should be two of them. There's a high and a low. And you can kill the breaker. There's two panels that should be accessible on the side of the unit where there's like one or two screws and these panels come off. And inside there are these heating elements. My guess is you got bad heating elements. You can pull those off. You can go to the hardware store and say, I need two of these. And then try and replace those. You know, they're probably about, they're probably $20-some dollars a piece, maybe a little more.
Okay.
And they literally pull out and they slide back in. And then you connect them, you wire them up, connect them, and go. And that could be as easy as it gets. Now, if you notice on the numbers, and you can look up where the dating numbers is based on the manufacturer to find out what the date is. If all of a sudden you're like, wow, this thing's from 1998 or this thing's from whatever, then I probably wouldn't invest in the heating elements. I'd probably get a new heater.
Okay.
Is where this is located, it can't be vented, which is why it's electric?
That's a good question. I would say right now, yes, but the dryer's vented. But the dryer, electric dryer venting different than a gas hot water heater?
If it's an electric dryer, it could be vented inside the unit.
It, like underneath the crawl space.
Right. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm not either.
Because it just adds all kinds of moisture. But, you know, depending on... So this is... His mechanical room is in the interior of the home?
Yeah. It's in the laundry room right off the hallway.
Right. And there's a crawl space?
I think there is because we found it through another door. So I'm guessing that's where the dryer venting is going. I don't know that for sure.
But he doesn't have gas service at all to this place.
No, he does. There's gas piping in that room. Huh. And I work for the gas company, and I'm like, I hate electric appliances. Nothing against electric, but I'm just like, I'm so frustrated with this thing. I mean, you should be able to turn your faucet on and have hot water.
Well, here's if he has gas piping there, then one thing you may want to look into, Dave, is if you can vent out of that room, if you can get a vent out of that room, what about an on-demand water heater that's gas that gets vented with PVC piping?
Yes, I've heard of those.
And now, you know, they cost a little bit more, but it sounds like, you know, if you've got some skills here, the newer ones, like this one by Navion, you can get away with just piping it with a 3/4-inch gas pipe.
Okay.
But you got to be able to vent it outside, and it's through with PVC piping, so you know, if you can figure out a path to get out, and it's less than, I believe the max is, it's either 12 or 16 feet, okay?
For the run.
And you also need, you need combustion air, too, so it's two pipes. But they're 2-inch, so it's not huge. Because, you know,
I don't see that happening.
Okay, well, then I would start with electric elements and replace those and see if that solves the problem. If the unit is older than 10 years old, I wouldn't invest in the elements. I would get a new heater altogether.
Okay.
All right?
Hey, I appreciate your help. You have a good day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Nancy, who's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Nancy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Lou, we had our line rotted out because it was all dirty and all that.
Your sewer line?
Yes.
Okay.
And the stupid plumber put the toilet right on my ceramic tile floor. So now I have a ring of this black tar substance which I think may be part of the old ring.
Right.
And I cannot get it off at all, Lou.
What have you used?
Everything.
Have you
everything I had at home.
And it's ceramic tile?
Yes.
Okay. So are you familiar with a product called Crud Cutter?
No.
All right. Crud Cutter comes, it's with a K. And Crud and Cutter with a K. And go to, where are you, Nance? Arlington Heights. Go to the hardware store, buy a gallon of that. It's a concentrate.
Okay.
So I want you to mix it a little bit, even though you could use it full strength on the seat. But it's going to get take care of that wax and spray it on, and then use a like a plastic scrubbing knife.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, a plastic scrubbing pad.
Okay.
To wipe it away. And that'll take care of it. Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Lou. You have a good one.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. Oh, yeah, I was seeing all these revelers. I keep forgetting it's the St. Patrick's. You're not in green at all. What's up with that?
I know. I actually forgot.
Did you?
I feel like it's really early because St. Patrick's Day isn't technically till Thursday. So
I understand, but
like,
the parade in Chicago is
no,
today.
I know,
and
it's
all these people walking by dressed in green. Tomorrow is the Northwest Side Irish Parade, which we will be taking our classic truck in the rain because it's supposed to rain tomorrow with a bunch of kids. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds so fun.
Who wants to sit in the back of the truck in the rain? Veronica, you want to come? Stand in the back of the, sit in back of the truck and throw candy at kids and in the rain?
You know.
My friend Marie's going to come, but she's going to sit in the cab
in
with
the
me.
Cab,
yeah.
So there's no more room.
You're sorry. No.
I have done so many parades that I have, you know, the smile and the hand wave.
Down?
Yeah. Down.
Like the queen? You're like the queen? Hello, my subjects. Hello there, you peasants. Here's some candy.
The only fun part is throwing the candy. The rest of it's just...
Well, I did notice in the rules today they don't want you throwing the candy.
Yeah, they say
what
that.
Do you mean?
Well, I have to tell you, it's a little nerve-wracking because when you do throw the candy, if you don't throw it well enough, the kids come darting out, and all of a sudden you're slamming on the brakes, and the last thing I want to do is Mr. Fix-It kills a child at the...
Yeah.
Right? So now, I haven't told the kids, but they want you to walk alongside the vehicle and, like, hand it. So we're going to have to take turns.
That makes sense.
It makes sense.
I would volunteer just to walk and hand out candy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so I need you at 11:30 at Onahan School.
You gotta talk to the boss, though, because I'm supposed to be working tomorrow.
Oh, well,
so
we'll get that done.
I mean, it's working.
Yeah.
You know, handing out candy, news, same thing.
Right, absolutely. It's we're givers, Veronica, you and I.
We are.
Hello, you peasants. Here's some candy.
I love this accent.
Hello, all of you. Go eat your candy.
What kind of candy do you give out?
It says Ace on it.
Oh.
It's like suckers.
Yeah.
You know, little suckers that say Ace on it. 7:45 in the morning, suckers. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Hey, this is Dean Richards from Sunday Mornings here on WGN and the WGN-TV Morning News. Now back to Lou Manfredini, a Dean's List A+, and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank you, Dino. Okay, I am very excited about this Noodaloo 2. My excitement of this Noodaloo 2 is only eclipsed by my producer's excitement.
Yeah, I'm excited about this Noodaloo
Right,
2.
Which is a little weird.
I know.
Right?
It was just fun.
All right, take a listen to this one.
Goes this week's Noodaloo 2. That's right, there's a new stud finder in town, ladies, and they're calling it the Stud Pop. But it's fun for both girls and boys. Our Noodaloo 2 this week, Stud Pop, is a new stud finder design that uses a magnet to locate the studs in your wall. Now, using magnets to find studs is nothing new, but typical magnet stud finders tend to not be all that reliable. Stud Pop seems to have found the solution. And let me tell you, I had so much fun with it. I'm not even kidding. Okay, to find wood studs using a magnet, what you're basically doing is finding the metal screw or nails that are used to fasten the drywall to the walls or ceilings. While this method works well in most cases, sometimes it can be a little difficult to feel the magnetic resistance of a small screw when moving the magnet over a large surface, right? Well, Pop
goes the problem. The stud pop uses a magnet that is attached to a popper to accentuate a positive hit. When you pass the stud pop over a screw head, the popper pops into place to exaggerate the fact that metal has been found. Not only can you see it pop into place, you can also hear it.
OMG.
I'm not sure why I kept getting this feeling, but for some reason, it reminded me of playing with a Ouija board. It's like the wall was speaking to me.
Lindsay, you found a stud.
Stud pops were invented by a contractor, are small enough to fit into your pocket, do not require batteries, cost less than $10 on Amazon, and are made right here in the USA. I'm going to put a video on just what it is I'm talking about up on Lou's Facebook page. Also, I will put a link up on WGNradio.com, on Lou's Facebook page, and also on VibeScore. Download the free app on your iPhone and vibe about it. We think you're going to like it. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
I love this New to Lou 2.
I love this one.
Okay. Veronica, where's the camera? Can you see that?
I can sort of see it, yeah.
Oh, and you can do this.
Oh, yeah, and it doubles as a maraca.
Yeah. Hello. Hello, you people. Here's your candy.
I can't hear any the word stud finder together without laughing.
I know. I was going to go there in the Noodaloo too.
You know, my
audio, Veronica, but I...
One of my favorite, you know, what? One of my defining moments on television was one of the very first times I was on television. And I used the I used a stud finder, an electronic stud finder, on Matt Lauer. It literally was the third time I was ever on television. I'm sure that they must have thought, "Who is this guy?"
Oh my God!
And I had the electronic stud finder. It was the very first real segment I did on the Today Show when Jeff
awesome.
Zucker, who was then the executive producer of the Today Show, said to me, "And remember, kid, you're only as this show's all about women." So make sure it appeals to women. And he said, and you're only as good as your last segment.
I love that
line. I've told
line.
You that, right? And this is, I mean, I don't tell people this, but I've been on that show for 17 years. 17
how
years.
How did Matt handle it?
He was shocked. So I took the stud finder and, you know, he is, I've known him for a long time, and he is very well prepared. He reads all the notes. What happens is in these national shows, they... Everything they're going to do tomorrow, they send a detailed list of everybody, all the guests, and this is what they're doing. The producers put together all these notes. And, you know, there's a few on-air people that don't read a thing. They just kind of go, oh, take me through it, whatever. And you can get away with that, especially when you have experts on there. But Matt reads everything. And so he says to me, well, how does a stud finder work? You know, and I go, well... It actually detects the metal. People think that it detects the wood, but it's not. It's the metal and the screws and everything in there that detects it. And I go, and so when it comes across, you know, and we're outside, so there's no studs for me to hold it. I go, you can hold this up. And I also know that if you put it on your body, it will go off. Okay? It just does. I don't know if you got metal in you or whatever. You know, maybe it's all the lead we're drinking in the water. And I go, hey, and check this out. And I go, and it goes off, beep. And because I put it on his chest, it was right by his microphone. I didn't know that. But it was really, you could hear the beep. I go, look at that, Matt Lauer, you're a stud. And he got a little embarrassed, but laughed at it. You know, and afterwards he goes, that was funny. And I got to come back.
Very funny. I was going to do something like that with those. But if you think
I just like doing this.
If you think about how it detects the stud and what it does, I didn't think it was going to go hand in hand.
Right.
I thought it would be
It looks like a... What?
Nothing. Keep going.
What?
I'll tell you later.
It looks like a monocle first. Like if you were going to be... You know the guy when you go to buy the diamond and they say, you know, you want the cut and clarity. Oh, yeah. This is a 16. Mm-hmm. The thing the guy puts on his eye to show you, which whoever looks at a diamond like that, right? I have a friend of mine who's going to propose to his girlfriend. And he... I'll tell you because you know him. And I go, he's like, oh, you know, I'm learning all about these diamonds. I go, you know, the cut really, who looks at it through that thing? It's all about the color, right? You want it to be sparkly when the light hits it. So that little thing that the guy puts on his eye, that's what one part of this looks like. Then in the middle.
It looks like an Atari stick, kind of.
No. It looks like the thing you use in the game of life.
Oh, the like little, a little peg?
The peg, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Or no, do you, which is, no. Yeah, Monopoly, you're like the wheelbarrow mm-hmm. or the car. Yeah, the game of life. Mm-hmm. It's this. And then it's like when you,
oh, hello.
Oh, 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 got it. Hold on. It's
slippery.
Like when it's put together, it looks like a mortar and pestle. You know what that is?
No.
You don't? Have you ever seen when you go to a Mexican
restaurant? This is very confusing.
No, no, no.
People following
no, no,
this?
No. They're going to follow this. Have you ever gone to a Mexican restaurant where they make the guacamole
yes.
right in front of you?
Yeah.
And they got that mm-hmm. jar mm-hmm. and the woman smashing mm-hmm. the seasoning
oh,
in
yeah.
there?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
that's a mortar and pestle. Gotcha. That's what Mr. Gower, you
yes.
put poison in those pills. That's what he uses.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
You know who Mr. Mm-hmm. Gower is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on. They're coming to get me. Okay. It's a little magnet. You hold it on the side of the wall, and it's a little, it's like it's limp. It's hanging mm-hmm. there. It's not standing at attention. And when you go across the wall and it hits the metal, it goes bing,
bing.
It's like, hello.
Boing.
There it is, and it stands at attention.
Right.
How much is it?
$10.
Made in the USA.
Made in the USA on Amazon.com. Everyone, you can just put it in your pocket.
The name of the company is Easy Street.
Easy Street.
I like it. In Kennebunkport,
Maine.
Not Kennebunkport. Just says Kennebunk. It must be the cheaper part of town. In Maine. Made in the USA. This is awesome. Ace should sell these. And then you can just go to like this when people come up. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have fun with this all day.
I know. I had the best time with it. I felt like it was a Ouija board. That's
how did
how
you
I,
find this?
They sent, somebody posted.
I love this.
On
this
an
is
Amazon
so,
account.
You know what? Mike Jakubowski would love this.
Great. You give him one.
I'm going to. No batteries, no calibration, no mistakes. Popper snaps up when a stud fastener is found.
Yeah.
So
that's
smart.
What I mean. Okay. Somebody must have posted, like, in a review on his Amazon account that...
Oh, my gosh, it's already 8 o'clock.
That, you know, this guy, Lou Manfredini, he does this segment called Noodaloo 2. You should send him this information. So he did.
As shown in the diagram, move the stud pop left to right about 24 inches, drop down 2 inches, then move the opposite direction. Repeat this back and forth and downward motion until you see... I want to talk to the guy that invented this. Like, how did he...
He would be happy to talk to you.
Now, it's interesting because it's got like a little screw top on it. There's something here that it was before it was this. Like, it has threads on it. I know that's probably there so you can grab it. But it looks like, you know what it looks like? It looks like the outer thing looks like a thing you'd screw onto a hose.
Yes. I love your comparisons.
What was it? Mortar and pestle. What was the other one?
Mortar and pestle, the Monopoly piece.
The
life, game of life.
And it's like Morocco. Hello, you peasants. Here's your candy. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
You're listening to Mr. Fix-It with Lou Manfredini. Any problem, large or small, he's here to help with his riveting advice.
If there's a screw, I want you to tighten that screw a little bit.
To the right.
Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. Go ahead, say that.
Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey.
His words of encouragement.
You can do this. Say this with me. I'm smart enough, I'm strong enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
Anything he can do to make your weekend better.
Listen, you want to be even happier this morning?
Yeah.
Put a little Bailey's in your coffee.
So, from his coffee cup to yours, cheers. Now, back to Lou.
We got to do more of that Bailey's in the coffee thing. It is the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Veronica, can I interest you in a little Bailey's in your coffee?
I'm not much of a drinker.
Right.
Not much of a coffee drinker either, believe it or not.
We need to change that. You work early.
I know. Sometimes I'll have a tiny splash of coffee in my cappuccino.
All right.
I
think we may need an intervention.
I'm already hyper enough.
Is that what it is? You don't
caffeine.
Need anything else? Well,
no.
Good for you. That's
no.
good. That's good. I think that's good. If you can avoid the coffee thing, that I think that's great.
You know, I read once, and nobody ever believes me, that you get the same boost, the same energy boost in the morning from an apple as you do from coffee.
Really?
Yep. Nobody believes me. I told you. See, I can hear it in your voice.
Well,
really?
I'm not
going to
doubt you. You're a smart lady. And where did you learn this?
On the internet. Everything's true.
Oh,
there.
Well, then it must be true. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, this is true, is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Permaseal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Coming up a little bit later on this morning at 8:30, we're going to talk about home warranties and do they make sense for you and how expensive are they? What should you pay? We're going to talk to a manager of content for this new interactive guide that's going to help you analyze the risk and decide if it's worth the investment. I think that's kind of an interesting thing to learn about. And something that we're trying to do, too, is, you know, it's all about this social media and growing your audience under social media so that, you know, we can share more things with you. So if you have your mobile number, are you a Facebook user, Veronica?
Yes.
Okay, so listen to this. This is something I didn't know. Do you have your, you know, Facebook, the thing that makes Facebook so attractive to advertisers is the fact that they know who you are.
Right.
Right? They know you're a woman. They know your age. They know, you know, where you live because you have to give all that information.
And they stalk you with their ads.
And they stalk you with their ads, which is kind of creepy, right?
It is.
Isn't it weird how you could be looking at something on Amazon and then you go to your Facebook page and that thing pops up right
there?
And
it keeps popping up.
I know, but it is amazing, though.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
Right. I was doing a little research because, you know, I love cars, and I was just looking at trucks. And now every time that it wasn't research. I was playing around. That's what I do. I look at cars when I'm on the internet, you know, like watching a ball game or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll go to my Facebook page, and I'll be looking on my Facebook page, and there will be an ad of some truck that I looked at or similar truck. It really is amazing. So if your mobile number is verified through your Facebook account, okay, which I think mine is,
mm-hmm.
you can like my page by just texting your username to House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, all one word. House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, all one word, to Facebook on your mobile phone, and you'll automatically become a fan of our Facebook page. That's it. You can do it right now. House Smarts with Lou Manfredini, one word, to F-book. That's what you have to text it to.
So you to type in as the number, F-book. I should try this.
It's 32665. And I post a lot of tips and photos and how-to videos. Like me. I just gave the whole Facebook thing. Why are you looking? Why was it? When I started to talk about it, I was like, you weren't here because Lindsay went to go get some coffee. So you go... I'm going to do it right now.
Nope.
Why not?
Oh.
Okay. So if I have my phone open and I go to my messages, so what I'm going to do is do I put the F book? Oh, that's kind of a weird thing. Or do I have to do the number?
Okay. So the way that it works is your phone has to be registered with Facebook. So when you set up an account, you did not have your phone registered, I'm guessing because you didn't want people to, you know, have your access to your number.
Is that why people keep calling me now? Thanks.
Well, I put my number in there to protect your privacy. But
okay, but I don't do F book, or
well,
do I do
like
the
whatever,
number?
You know, so F B O O K is 3-2.
It's 32665.
Five.
But is that what you do, or just put F book?
You can do either.
Oh, it works either way.
Yeah.
Okay, so then in the two.
Mm-hmm.
You do either F-book mm-hmm. or 32665.
Mm-hmm.
And then the message that you text to that is House Smarts.
No, it has to say like House Smarts with Lou Manfredini because that is your
username. That's not what you put in the paperwork.
What does it say?
It just says House Smarts with Lou Manfredini.
It says, well, then I'm glad you didn't do it last week.
All one word?
So you have to say like.
Like, because you're going to like. I want, like.
Like House Smarts with Lou Manfredini.
Yes. Well, that's all one word.
Okay, so it's all one word. Like, that's a lot of words.
Well, because that's your username.
I see. Like House Smarts with Lou Manfredini.
Right.
All one word.
Right.
To F-book on your mobile phone. And that's it. So then that, because it's linked, then you're immediately a fan.
You're going to get a reply message that says...
Can I tell you something? When you say that it's hard to follow me... When I give my examples of the mortar and the pestle,
I knew that's where you're
that going. Was more easy to follow than what I just did. That's a lot. And the other way you would do it is just go to Facebook.
And click the little like button. But this is what you say. Hey, if your phone's registered on Facebook, just text like How Smarts with Lou Manfredini to F-book and become my fan.
I'm nervous when you and say F-book.
People, is that like Shih Tzu?
Right. Right. It makes me nervous.
And people, you know, people that are listening that are tech savvy will be
able to get it.
So that would not be us, Lou.
So maybe I will.
Perhaps, Veronica, that's the problem. It's you and I trying to figure this whole thing out.
I get grief
every day.
The
millennials out there are getting, they're all texting you right now. Look at your likes coming in.
Look at them. Bing, bing, bing. Right? Megan is in Chicago. Megan, did you understand any of that?
I got about half of it.
All right. Well, that's better than I had. How are you? How can I help you?
I'm good, Lou. I am putting up a cedar fence in my home, and I've done some research on the internet and reading all different kinds of opinions about wood tint, semi-stain, so how long to leave it before you put the stain on it. So just wondering your opinion.
So have you done the fence yet?
No, it's getting put up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so that fence is going to go up, and I want it to be a little warmer before you do any staining. So next couple weeks, so what are we? We're in March. So let's say we're in April. I got to make sure that fence is nice and dry. So if we get a week's worth of rain, you're not staining that cedar.
Okay.
Then you want a semi-transparent oil-based stain.
Okay.
And you're going to use a brush to put it on, which is going to take a little longer, but that's the best way to work it. And you're going to spend a lot of time on everything that faces the sky. So the very tops of the board, you're going to make sure that you get a nice amount of stain inside there. Now, with cedar, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, brush it on and then, you know, wipe it off with a rag. But it's such a rough material that really you just want to use a brush.
Okay.
And what's very important is when you're staining, depending on the color, the resins inside the stain go to the bottom of the can. So you want to occasionally stir it while you're doing it. Otherwise, you'll get inconsistent color.
Okay.
All right. One of my favo stains is a company called Penifin.
Okay.
They make a terrific stain, rosewood oil based, and it holds up really well. Cabot also has just reformulated their stain. I was just at the ACE convention and talked with the folks at Cabot. And they, ironically, have gone back to their two-coat stain system, which is what made them so different from everybody else because it really put the right type of material in there. And so that's a very good product as well, their oil-based stains.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your help, Lou. I listen to you every Saturday and appreciate you.
Really? Well, I'll tell you what. You know how much I appreciate you? I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to send you a Mr. Fix-It Lou's Crew t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsup, and it's created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. It's 8:18 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to my friend Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It show. Wait, I broke that one. Lou Manfredini, Hey, this is Steve Bertrand. Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own WGN.
He's a professional. By the way, don't forget, Steve has just a few more spots left on his trip to Prague. 9-day tour of Prague and Vienna leaving June 30th. $4,200 includes airfare. Lots of trips don't quote the cost of the airfare. You're going to stay in 4-star hotels, only 2 hotels during the trip, so no packing and unpacking. They're going to have a night of Mozart and Strauss in Vienna and see more palaces and cathedrals than you can count. Lots of free time built into the itinerary as well, so you'll have a chance to explore on your own and just relax. Bottom line, it's fun. It's a great time, and these groups are just a wonderful group of people, new friendships. Call Steve. He's even sharing his phone. I don't know if it's registered with Facebook. 847-606-6065. That's 847-606-6065. Or see all the information at stevebertrandtravel.com. Did you get a text message from King John Williams?
I did.
What did
he
it
gets
say?
Me. It says,
he's such a, but just, I mean, anybody that, he's a dork, but go ahead.
It says, by the way.
And I'm, by the way, actually, I don't even know that I'm still talking to him.
Actually, so it says BTW. Do you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
I just texted like House Smarts with Lou Manfredini to F-book and got a bounce back saying I needed to register my phone with Facebook, which is what you said would happen. So far, so good. I'll register my phone next. Tell us how you're doing, John.
Yeah, thank you, John. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's another John in Chicago. John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Lou.
Sure. How can I help you?
Oh, I'm having problems with moles in my backyard.
Ugh.
Tried the pellets last fall. Tried the the worms. Doesn't seem to do the trick.
Yeah, they're really hard to get rid of.
Oh.
So here's a different approach, and it should have some added benefits. We need to eliminate the food source that's living in your lawn, okay?
Which is the grubs, probably, right?
Well, the grubs are part of it, but then there's other insects in there as well. So we need to change the pH in the soil.
This is a
weird approach, but I've given this advice to several people. They've done it, and it's worked.
Oh,
so
great.
You're in Chicago. You have a big yard, small yard?
Pretty big yard.
All right. So I want you to go rent a dethatcher.
Okay.
All right.
Done that before.
All right. So go
familiar.
And, all right. So you know how that works. And, you know, your lawn looks like crap when you're done with it. But we're going to get all that dead grass out of there. Then I want you to go buy a couple of bags or however many square feet you need of the Jonathan Green Magic Cal Soil Amender. Okay?
Okay.
I actually want you to change everything to this Jonathan Green product, but I want you to start with this. What you're going to do is you're going to change the pH level in this soil, which is going to help to green up your lawn. It's going to help to eliminate weeds, and it's also going to change the scent and the taste of that soil for those moles. Then go ahead and do some seeding maybe a week later, you know, for the thin spots. Cover that with a little peat moss. Then after that, I want you to use, they have another product called, that they just changed the name, not to what I wanted it to be, but it used to be called Love Your Lawn, Love Your Soil. Now it's just called Love Your Soil. So use that on the lawn. And I think that by, what are we, we're in March, April, May.
Yep.
By the middle of May, your lawn should look a heck of a lot better.
And the moles will be at my neighbor next door, Steve.
Do we like Steve?
We love Steve, yeah. I'm gonna share this with him.
Yeah, poor Steve. Then maybe you keep doing it until you get to the neighbor you don't like. You know what I mean? Give it to Steve.
I hope this works.
Right. And the other thing, too, that can be helpful is, and this is difficult to rent, you know, you got to rent this, but a lawn roller. Because we need to.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm familiar.
We need to collapse those tunnels.
Fill it up with water and just roll it down and
right, right. So
smash them down, right?
So you're going to do this. You're going to lawn rake. You're going to roll. You're going to put the Magi-Cal seed a couple weeks later, love your soil, and then you'll fall in love with your lawn. And whatever neighbor you don't like will have all your moles.
And I should abandon any, it's like I've been using like the Scotts over the Scotts.
And so I want you to go to their Jonathan Green products. You're going to be amazed.
Got it.
You're going to be amazed. The other thing, too, is you still need a grub treatment. And that'll be like Bayer or Scotts. So that, stay ahead of it. Don't do the one, you know, I think Bayer makes the 24-hour one that is, oh, my gosh, I have grubs. I got to get rid of it. You want to stay ahead of it. So use the GrubX, which is a Scotts product. But you're not going to use that until probably end of May.
End of May. And I probably should do another application then during the summer, yes, maybe?
No, once you put that, you're done.
Really?
It stays.
God, I will call you back at Memorial Day weekend and let you know that it worked, Lou.
Deal.
Thank you very, very much.
You got to have a great
day. Love
the
show.
Thank you.
Long-time listener.
Thank you. Appreciate you calling. 8:29 in the morning. Don't go away.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
8:38 in the morning, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Live on Michigan Avenue. Nice looking day out there. Lots of people walking downtown, heading to the parade? Did you give the time of when we're turning the river green, Veronica? Did they give you the official?
I have not seen that yet. I can look.
Yeah, at some point they'll put the yellow substance in the river that turns it green. Are we the only place that does that?
You know, I have heard, like, one other place that does. I'm trying to remember what city it is, but I don't think it's a real super popular thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chicago parade information.
There we go.
Let's
All
see
right.
if it says.
Let's see if there's water temperature there, too, in the lake.
Parade noon. We know that.
Right. River
Down
green.
To, da-da-da-da-da. Parade lots route.
Lots of people walking around dressed in green. A lot of green sweatshirts and pants.
Dying of the river.
Dying of the river.
It's explaining how they do it, why
okay.
they do it.
All right.
9 o'clock. Oh. So just minutes from now.
Minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. All right, good. Very nice. All right. Speaking of very nice, let me ask you this. Home warranties, very expensive. I have a whole theory on all of this. There's a brand new interactive guide to help you analyze the risk and decide if it's worth the investment. Joining me on the phone right now is Ryan Daly, who is the content manager at Consumer Affairs. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Tell me a little bit about Consumer Affairs and what it is you guys do.
Well, Consumer Affairs is a consumer news and advocacy organization that's been around since the 1990s. We started out in consumer news, and our founder, Jim Hood, recognized that, you know, the best place to get consumer news was directly from consumers, so we started the review side of the website, and today we're 8 million visitors a month and one of the largest consumer advocacy sites on the web.
So you're, is Consumer Reports, would that be a competitor of yours?
Yeah, it's a different company than ours. So
okay.
we're, yeah.
But you do similar things, but yours is strictly an online source.
Correct.
Okay. And give me an idea of how it is you gather your information.
Well, you know, for this piece of content, we just went through and picked out kind of the top, I think there's what, eight? The top eight appliances that are kind of the big ticket items in your house.
Right.
And priced out what it would cost to replace them and talked to a few experts on how to keep them clean and get the most life out of them that you possibly can, which is arguably the best investment that you could make, whether or not you decide to get a home warranty. So that's how we gathered the information for this.
All right. Well, talk to me about some of the appliances that you did your research on.
Well, you know, we wanted to cover everything from dishwashers to washing machines to something small like a garbage disposal that seems pretty inconsequential. But the biggest items, you know, are things like your furnaces, your AC compressor, and your water heater.
Right.
So, you know, a furnace, the average lifespan of one of those things, if you're real lucky, is 15 years. And the replacement cost is anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000, which is, you know, as someone who recently had to replace theirs, pinch your wallet pretty hard.
Right.
You're not expecting.
Right. You're like, I know this one. I can be part of the study.
Oh, yeah. No, we you know, declined to get a home warranty when we moved into our house. And had I had something like this around, I may have changed my mind about it.
Right.
We've replaced just about every major appliance in the house.
Okay.
So, you know, for a furnace, if you've got an older furnace, you know, this might be a good investment. An AC compressor, kind of the same deal, 12 years as the average lifespan if you're real lucky and if you take really good care of it. Which, of course, we recommend, you know,
right.
change the filters in your house, get the company to come out and service it twice a year.
So you're doing the analysis. So on these particular ones, when you're talking about the furnace and you're talking about the AC unit and you're saying, okay, here's the life expectancy. Everyone should know this, that if you take good care of it, you should get 15 years out of it. And you're saying that perhaps a home warranty on something like this makes sense. Now, did you analyze, because I know that there's many different providers of this of these policies, of what the average cost of these warranties are?
You know, we kind of went through, and as I understand, the average cost of a home warranty is between $400 and $600 a year. But you know, that's going to vary based on the level of coverage you have and you know, which company you go with. So it really, there are enough variables in there that we didn't feel like it would be, it would, you know, kind of lead to a poor user experience to include all that stuff in here. So it's, again, you know, all of this is made with the caveat that you absolutely, you know, while you're assessing your risk using this tool, you absolutely should, you know, read the fine print in your home warranty agreement, understand what is covered and what's not, understand what your deductibles are, how much is coming out of your pocket anyway.
Right.
And then really, you know, do sit down and do the math and think, you know, if you've got a brand new air conditioner, it may not be as important as if you have, like I did, a 12-year-old air conditioning unit.
Right, right.
That was kind of last breath.
So, right. So, in other words, so in this so first of all, what's the website if people wanted to use this tool?
It's www.consumeraffairs.com.
And now they can go in there on this interactive guide and see, plug in those major appliances that you're talking about, or see the information to understand how long these things should last.
Mm-hmm. That's right? Exactly right.
So then now they can make an assessment to say, do I want to get a home warranty? I mean, to your point, when you say, you know, I'm spending $400 or $500 a year for one of these home warranties, but those typically, depending on the policy that you choose, will cover things like a furnace, like a water heater, like a washer and dryer. So it's cumulative of all those things. And then, of course, there are deductibles. But to your point, where this really makes sense is you move into a house and you have a 10-year-old furnace.
Right.
Now you can kind of say, hey, I'm going to roll this dice and spend the $500 because, you know, in 5 years I might be replacing this or other items. It may make sense for me to do this.
Right. It's the same as car insurance. You know, you get a brand new car, you want to cover it really well, you're probably going to get full coverage. You know, if I'm driving my old Ford Pinto, I'm probably going to just go ahead and get the liability because if it gets totaled, that's fine.
Right. If you still have a Ford Pinto, that's a classic car right now, and it's probably worth a lot of money. Well, this is very interesting stuff. I think that I think there's a lot of confusion when it comes to all this. And again, with the home warranty thing, it's you really do have to weigh this out because it can be very costly. And in particular, if you buy a brand new house, or all of a sudden you go buy this house, oh, all my stuff's, you know, they just redid all the mechanicals, then perhaps it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend a lot of money on a home warranty. But this kind of gives you at least a starting point to understand how long everything should last.
Exactly. And, you know, our goal with all of this is to provide consumers with the most information that they can have going into these purchases. Because, you know, at the end of the day, informed consumers are happy consumers. Make better choices, they're more satisfied with their purchases, and it's just better for the company and the consumer.
All right. Ryan Daly, he's the content manager at Consumer Affairs. ConsumerAffairs.com is the website. You can find an interactive guide to help you analyze the risks on the appliances that you have and decide if getting a home warranty is worth the investment. Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Lou.
Well,
I appreciate it.
You got it. 8:47 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be back right after these.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
Hey, baby. Thank you, Big O. Hey, we're going to Midlothian. It's the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. Presented by Allstate. Join me at Bartolini's Restaurant for a live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show. That's next Saturday, March 19th, from 7 to 10 a.m. It's home of Chicago's best meatballs. We're going to go up there and do the meatball challenge. I'm not, but try and conquer the legendary signature Bartolini 10-pound meatball sandwich on a 3-foot loaf of French bread with us. Shouldn't it be a 10-pound meatball sandwich on a 3-foot loaf of Italian bread? Enjoy complimentary coffee and soft drinks, too. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Alka-Seltzer. No, by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. 9:08 in the morning, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Victoria in Glen Allen. Hello, Victoria. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you?
We have James Harding siding that we just did on our house probably 2 years ago. And so Bob in Naperville definitely should get this. Definitely love it. We had concrete put in afterwards, and they taped off the Harding siding so it wouldn't splatter on there. But he did it with duct tape, and I have this, like, goo from the back of the duct tape that is on the siding. And I called James Harding or emailed them, and they've contacted me back just saying use an orange product. And I've tried numerous Goo Gons, Orange Glow, all this stuff, and I'm wondering if he can help me.
Yeah. Okay, so this has a painted finish, like a factory finish, or did they paint it afterwards?
Factory finish.
Okay. So the trick with the removal of that goo is that you have to let the cleaner sit there for a little bit. But the risk is that it does something to the paint.
Right.
So what have you used, like an Orange Glow or something like that?
I've used Orange Glow, and I've tried the Goo Gone.
Right.
And I've let it sit on there, and I've taken a really soft old toothbrush and kind of rubbed it in a little bit. And then I rinsed it off because I was nervous it would wreck the paint.
Right, right. Okay, so where are you? Where do you live?
Glen Ellen.
Okay. I want you to go find a product, probably at your local Ace, called Challenger.
Isn't that what you said to clean that stuff on your fireplace once?
Sure.
I wrote that down years ago. Long time listener. My husband's waving at me saying, tell him I say hi.
What's his name?
Tony.
He's a saint.
He is a saint. We actually got to shake your hand at Mr. Cordy's Denny. Congratulations to you and your family.
Oh, very nice. That's very nice. It was a nice time. Okay, so you want to buy this
Challenger.
It's a concentrate, so it's super duper fragilistic expialidocious, so be careful. I want you to cut it, put it in a different spray bottle, and do something like 70-30. 70 Challenger, 30 water.
Okay.
Spray it on there. Use a plastic scrubbing pad, like a plastic chore boy. You know what a chore boy is?
Yes.
Use that. Spray it. Count to 30. Wipe it off. It'll come off.
Okay. It'll come right off?
Yep.
All right. I will give it a try.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got to have a great day. Appreciate you being part of the show. This is Scott in Burbank. Hi, Scott. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Long-time listener. I'm glad to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, great. Thank you for listening. How can I help you?
I have a question. We've had three contractors out to give us estimates on a new roof, and I think I've narrowed it down to who I want to go with.
Right.
We're going to go with an Owens Corning Duration Shingle. It comes with a lifetime warranty, but after 10 years, the warranty is prorated. I wanted to know your thoughts if it would be worth paying some extra money to get a preferred protection warranty on the shingle that's good for 50 years with no proration.
How much?
It's about $225.
Okay. And is that labor and materials, or is it just materials?
It's just materials.
Right. So here's the thing. We were talking about the home warranties with our guest, all right? The average life of a roof in the United States is what?
About 13 years.
Attaboy, you did your homework. Yep, very good.
Yep.
All right. I think that any manufacturer of any product that gives a lifetime warranty as part of their sales pitch is a crock of hooey.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing lasts a lifetime. Except
right.
the love that I have for my wife. Huh? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, Lindsay, did you just put your finger in your mouth? What did you do that? No. That whole kind of like I always get a kick out of like paint manufacturers. Oh, we'll give you a lifetime warranty on the paint. The average person repaints every 3 years. So it's like this whole people like get caught up in the warranty. The proration of roof warranties is very common. And so I guess the question becomes, if you pay the $225 on the material to now go 15 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden a certain section of the roof has to be done because something failed.
Right.
Okay? So now they're going to say, oh, all right, well, Scott, yeah, you need two squares here. We're going to give you those two squares.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do with those two squares? Yeah, you saved $50 or $60. You know, it mm-hmm. isn't going to be the whole roof failing. It's going to be one section.
Right.
So believe me, they've figured all this out. Those two squares, the cost to them is going to be less than $225.
I see. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Save your money.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Now hold on a second.
Okay.
If you made me choose, Owens Corning wouldn't be the manufacturer that I would tell you to go with.
Is that right? Okay.
It's not that it's a bad roof,
mm-hmm.
but I would have you look at CertainTeed.
Okay.
And have you look at Elk.
Elk, okay. Down.
And Tamco.
Uh-huh.
From a manufacturer's perspective.
Okay.
And for that matter, GAF.
GAF, okay.
Okay. Owens Corning, while they've been around a long time, they were really, when they entered the roofing market, they were making some very affordable stuff.
Okay.
Okay, and now they've ramped it up a little bit, and, you know, they've got the technology. I get it, but I'd look at those manufacturers.
Okay.
All right?
They've been in the business longer.
Well,
and,
they've just been making premium stuff longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They have the technology.
In the roofing industry, it's all about the time you've been in the business because they've seen it all, and every manufacturer has had some failure. So it isn't that they're, you know, I can tell you, oh, my gosh, GAF, they never fail, because that's not the case.
Sure.
So this is all about who you get to do the work.
Right.
Because the product is the same.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And in other Absolutely. Words, whether ABC Roofing or XYZ Roofing is going to do that GAF or the Owens Corning, whatever it is, it's the same product showing up from the same maker. Now, who's the quality of the people doing the work? That's the key.
Okay.
All right?
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you calling this morning. 9:16 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
You're tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini, home improvement expert and king of ideas.
I just came up with a fabulous idea.
So here's another idea I had.
You're going to get a lot more than home improvement advice on this show, whether you ask for it or not.
And then, now this is a little bit of a stretch. If he gets a hit, everybody yells together, that's a spicy meatball.
Wouldn't you like to get inside that brain for just a second? You and me both.
So that's my idea for today. I have more, but that's just the one I have right
I know
now.
You do.
And now back to your host, home improvement and bright idea extraordinaire, Lou, 720 WGN. I woke up to
life of every little thing is possible. Oh, Lindemans.
It's just a pleasure to work with you.
Lindemans.
You just make me laugh all the time.
Lindemans. Let me send you out some Lindemans. Here's Frank. Frank, thanks so much for calling. I wish I could send you out some Lindemans.
Or that spicy meatball sandwich you've been talking
or
about.
Or the spicy meat. We're going to be at Bartolini's.
That's right, Frank.
Right. So listen, you know, Frank remembers the spicy meatball with Anthony Rizzo. We never got that off the ground either. So wait, Frank, you're just talking about all the failures I've had, right?
Yeah.
Let's come
no,
up with
no,
the
idea. No, that sounds like a winner. That
How about
like
the ideas winner. That I've had? You know what? When we go to Bartolini's, can you call down there, by the way? Because I would like to try the meatball sandwich, not the 10-pound one. But can I get a spicy meatball sandwich, like a little one, like a meatball slider?
Like a 2-pounder.
There you go.
No, not a 2-pounder.
That's a winning idea.
That's a winning idea, like a spicy meatball slider. How can I help you, Frank?
Lou, I got a weird problem here over at my mom's house. She's got a 1970s vintage house, and it's got the two-handle bathtub fixture. And about a month and a half ago, I changed a washer on the hot water side. And the other day, the pressure's gotten really low on both the hot and cold side. So I pulled the handle off, and there's plenty of pressure. It hits the back wall, And what I discovered was that the washer itself has busted apart inside the fixture.
Oh.
And I was able to, yeah, and actually the little screw that holds the washer in there came out of there. So I was able to fish that out with a magnet. But I think what's happened here is all the little rubber components of that washer has gotten wedged into that center body where the water comes out. So I got bad pressure coming out of the spout and also bad pressure coming out of the, shower head. So what I was going to do is try to put an air compressor in there and blow it out either from the where it comes out of the shower there, you know, take the shower head off and blow it out backwards, or through the spout and with the handles off, maybe try to blow it all out. What do you think, Lou? Is that advisable, or is there an easier way? I don't want to bust the wall.
Okay.
I don't want to change the fixture out because
the old
style fixtures have a lot of water pressure, which I like. But I don't know.
It's a two handle fixture that then mixes in the center and goes up or down, and you pull a handle on the spout to make the shower work. Correct.
That's exactly it. In fact, it's a Gerber brand.
Okay, yeah, that's good stuff. So here's what I would do. Shut the main water off, take the handles off, and the inserts in both those handles. Okay?
Okay.
And then you're going to take that shower head off, like you mentioned, and that's where you're going to put the compressor.
Got it.
You have a compressor and a hose, or...
Oh yeah, it's a little bitty guy, you know, the one you get at Menards.
Okay, so but what you want to be able to do is with that end, you're gonna need the little attachment you can use with the button to blow stuff out.
Yes.
So build up all that pressure, put that right on the end of that shower arm, and seal it. You know, because I need all that pressure to come out.
Right.
And something that'll be helpful is if you can get some, you'd like to know that stuff's coming out. You know what I mean? If you got something like a coffee filter, like a paper coffee filter, and taped it over with some blue tape over each one of the openings where you took the valve assemblies off and even the spout, that way you can see if you get anything.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
But that should work. And then the key, when you put everything back in there, when you put so the way that insert works is you pull it out and there's a washer that the screw held the washer in. But now you have the screw, correct?
Yeah, I was able to get that all out.
Okay.
It looks like half of the washer didn't come out. So I'm assuming that it got jammed up in there.
When you put the new, when you hopefully get everything cleaned out, and you put the new washer on, don't over-tighten it, and use some thread lock, like a Permatex thread lock on that, just so you snug it, the blue, not the red, the blue, and put it back together.
Okay. Okay, that's all a right. Good trick.
The other thing is you may have, when you put the insert back in, you may have over-tightened. Does it get held in with a nut or with a ring? How did you take the insert out?
It's got those long. It looks like a long.
Like a retaining pin.
No, it's like a socket. It looks like you put a pipe wrench on the other end. So it's like a long socket.
All right, don't over tighten that either, because I think I think what happened is you over tighten that, and then when you turn the valve on and off, the screw was rubbing on the back of the valve assembly, and that's how it got loosened up.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Just snug. That's it.
Okay.
Got it, Frank? Nice and easy, and you'll be good to go. Appreciate you calling this morning. 9:28 in the morning. We'll be back right after these.
Phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Time for our Just Text Me segment. We love when you give us a text message with things you're thinking about, but not when you're driving.
No, sir.
Play some of that, more of that Irish music. It is. It's just on repeat. It's the same song.
Now I'm kind of in the mood. I need like a green. I do need a beer.
All right. Well,
and they're starting to drink out there.
I'm sure there's plenty of people walking around. We could get one.
Did you see the girl that just fell in front of the window? I tried to point it out, but you missed it.
Did she just fall?
She looked like she had too many kegs and eggs this morning.
Yeah, a little day drinking. That's one of your favorite things.
By the way, it's 9:45 a.m.
Let's go.
It's my kind of girl.
All right. Good. Right.
630. Hey, Lou, I'm buying a house with popcorn ceilings, custom home built in 72. What are the chances the ceiling has asbestos, and can I drywall over it?
Well, the thing to know about asbestos is there's no way to look at it and say it's asbestos. You have to test it. And so the popcorn ceiling, is there a chance? Yeah, but I think that it's probably not. So what I would do is take a sample. Unfortunately, our friends at Healthful Home don't have a 5-minute asbestos test yet. But you want to scrape a little bit of that, put it in a package, and go send it off to get tested. There are local companies within the Chicagoland area where you can have it tested, or you can send it off with one of these home test kits. But do that first. If it's not asbestos, then I would tell you to scrape it, sand it, prime it, and paint it. I wouldn't drywall over the top of it. That's way more work than you have to do.
Lou, what can I do to get hot water faster to my second floor bathroom?
There is a recirculating pump kit called the Watts Recirculating Pump. Your local Ace can special order it for you. It is a pump that goes on the top of your water heater, your tanked water heater, and then there is a solenoid, a little crossover valve that gets mounted between the cold and hot water under the sink. This particular pump system has a timer on it that you can set to turn on and off when you typically use the water in your sink. And so it will create hot water for you lickety-split. The system costs about $250, $275. Then you have to have it installed, but it does work.
All right, 630. We have a fireplace with a brass trim around the opening. Can this trim be painted?
Sure. You need to use a heat-rated paint. And I have had a brass fireplace door system on a fireplace that I painted. I spray painted with the high heat spray paint. It's a matte black, which is, you know, readily available. And it's been 3 years and it works just fine.
Great. And we have a nice compliment here, which is true. I've heard this from other people before. She's a realtor. She spends lots of her time in the car on Saturdays, and she seems that almost every single week, something that you say can be quoted to the clients that she's working with that day.
What? Like Lindemann's?
Yes. I'm sure she's talking about that to her clients right now.
Wow. That's very nice.
That's true, though.
That's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you very much.
That looks like... it's it for now.
All right. Thank you very much for sending those text messages. Let's go back to the phone lines. Here's Dale in LaGrange. Dale, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Wow. Am I lucky to get a hold of you?
Oh, well, let's make sure that you're lucky after I give you the answer.
I had a local national routing concern come out to route out my sewer line.
All right.
Much in the way of roots. But they spent a long time getting it cleaned out. But what they discovered, that the transition joint between the cast iron and the clay tile has failed. And this is a super easy way to roots to grow and encroach in there rapidly.
Right.
They want to, or they suggested that they put a bladder in there. A relining. They're not going to reline the whole sewer line, just enough to cover this transition joint for a cool $3,000. Now, I said, well, you know, I could have you come out here. My missus in my head, I could have you come out here every year for $300. And
it's like the home warranty thing, right? You're doing the math in your head, Dale. You don't even need to take your shoes off.
So...
Okay. Hold on a second. Wait, Dale. Let me ask you something. Did these people put a camera down the sewer line?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you saw this.
Well, yeah, I saw. Yeah, I saw what they described to me. Of course, I've never had a wrench in my hand in my life. You know,
so okay, but did they also televise the sewer all the way to the street?
Yes, sir.
And how's the rest of it look?
Very nice.
You never knew you had a sewer that looked so nice.
Oh, it was nice.
So the cast iron is fine. This and that is fine. And this transition where the cast is to the clay is at what point in your front yard? Right at the foundation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is there access... to the sewer right there where they're going to do this?
No, I have I have a clean out that's approximately halfway between the house and the street.
Okay, and that's where they're going to go in?
Yep.
Okay. And your question is?
Well, let me add one more thing to this. I am not in this house for at least 6 months of the year. And I have two sump pumps. And one of them ejects into this line.
Okay.
So I had the whole catalyst was I had a backup in the house. And I don't want this to ever happen again. Do I spend the $3,000 and sleep a little better, or on an annual basis do I have them come out and reroute it? What would you do?
I'd spend even more. If you don't want this to happen again, then you need a backflow preventer put in.
Okay.
That backup that you had, if you're not in this house, that backup probably was more of a sewer issue backing up than it was the roots in this connection. And so that $3,000 for the bladder, well, you could probably spend $6,000 and get a backflow preventer put in that front yard where that clean out is, and they may be able to, for a little bit more, also make that piping, you know, that transition that you're talking about, that repair even better. Where's the house?
Well, the house is in LaGrange, Illinois.
Okay, but you're not in there 6 months of the year.
Yes, sir.
Do you want to tell me where you are the other 6 months?
Juneau Beach, Florida.
Oh, my gosh. No sewer problems down there?
No, sir.
Go ahead.
Can I add one bit of this sewer is an overhead sewer.
Yeah.
And my sump pump, which I have two, the primary pump ejects into this sewer line.
Yeah, so that's where the backup came.
Yes, I never have problem with like street sewage coming in the house. Okay. I don't have that.
So why not redirect that other sump pump out of that sewer line, because they probably don't want you doing that in LaGrange anyway. Does it have to go there? If the other one goes out in the backyard, why can't we do that with this one?
We could.
So let's do that, okay? And let's occasionally throw down a copper sulfite down the toilet to try and keep those things at bay, and just have it rotted once a year. Or get a second opinion by calling the PermaSeal folks, because they do this work as well, to have them come out and take a look. Doesn't cost you anything for the opinion, and see what they can do. If you're ultimately going to sell this house, remember that backup is something you got to disclose, and that backflow preventer, which will cost you a little bit more money, is worth the investment, in my opinion. Appreciate the phone call. It's 9:52 in the morning. Don't go away. Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Veronica Carter, for doing the news. Lindsay Smithwick for producing our show this morning. And Christine is in Skokie. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
How can I help you? I'm good.
Good. So we had a roof leak after the big windstorms a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We got the roof repaired, but it was a two-story house, and we had water coming into the upstairs bathroom, and then water coming in our basement, like the, I guess it would be the first floor right above our washing machine.
This is before or after you had it fixed?
Before we had it fixed.
Okay.
So just a teeny bit leaked in our basement. But now, ever since then, we've been having this kind of sewer smell. And it smells like the water that was coming in to, like, the bathroom and the basement. I don't know how to get rid of it.
Okay, so it's a constant smell?
It is. It's still going.
In the basement?
In the basement.
But you see no evidence of any water continuing to leak?
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the basement's finished or unfinished?
Unfinished.
And so you can see everything, and everything appears to be dry.
Correct.
All right. So let's do this. No one did anybody inspect anything in the walls? Like, in other words, if this leaked from the second floor and you got water all the way in the basement from the roof, there's a good chance that the insulation inside those walls is wet.
Okay.
Did you make an insurance claim?
No.
Really? I'd call your insurance agent.
Okay.
And have them come out and tell them about this wind damage and that this leak occurred, because this might be covered under your homeowner's insurance. Do you have little kids in that house, Christine?
Not until May.
Oh, well, then we definitely want to get this fixed, Christine. I'm worried that if water leaked in those walls, that there's a mold and mildew issue there.
Okay.
We got to get that inspected. I don't want you breathing all that air. In the meantime, in the basement, is there a window?
Yeah.
Okay. I want that window open from now on until we get these walls inspected with you being pregnant.
Okay.
Are you, and since you're going to have a baby, I'm going to give you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate because you're going to be really hungry. Lou Malnati's is home to Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Do we know if it's a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
It's a boy. You know a name that people don't use a lot anymore, right?
Lou.
Right. I'm just saying. I mean, I gave you a pizza. Lou Malnati's, Lou Manfredini. God bless you. I hope everything goes well. They've got 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. 10:02 in the morning, ladies. I'm sorry. I'm late again. I apologize.
It's okay. We're getting paid.
Well, I worry that you only have 2 hours, and then I'm already, you know, taking time away from you. So,
well, you're forgiven today.
Okay, I'll try. I'll do. I will.
Don't
do
make
better.
It a habit, man.
I will make. I know.
Lindsay
I know.
And I will get into a fight. I can't producer even blame versus yeah. producer.
I can't even blame Mike Steven. It's my fault.
There
so.
You go.
What do you have coming up today, ladies?
Well, Judy insists we're going to talk about the Donald Trump issue last night.
I think we should.
All right, then.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm putting on my helmet. Have a good one, Lou.
You too.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com.